This is the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and the leading producer of quality fertilizer products. The podcast is intended to facilitate the transfer of knowledge for farmers and crop advisors, improving farm profitability and environmental sustainability. With Yara, knowledge grows.
And we're back with Dr. Steve Petrie, and he's going to drop a little more knowledge with his agronomic tip of the week. We're getting close to wrapping up the micronutrients, and today we're going to talk about nickel. This may be the shortest of our short-form podcasts, but we're going to start with a stump the Steve. I don't think I'm going to stump you on this one, but I was, in my research, was very interested in this. And nickel, of course, you are well aware that it is used in making currency. And currently, the nickel in the United States contains the most nickel. It contains 25% nickel. It's the one coin that contains the most nickel, which seems appropriate, where all other coins still contain nickel, about 8.3% nickel. But here's the thing that I thought was interesting is prior to the Civil War, money was made out of silver or gold, which had an intrinsic value, right? And correct. As the war was ending, people were hoarding that. And that coupled with a guy named Joseph Wharton, who owned a bunch of nickel mines. And he was making a fortune during the war because nickel was used to help make military equipment. But as the Civil War was ending, they had this surplus of nickel. And so Joseph, being an entrepreneur, went to the government and lobbied with them to say, hey, let's make currency out of nickel. And he was successful with that. So in 1866, the American government minted 15 million 5-cent coins that were made of this 25% nickel, which is currently the case. And nickels at that point were the most common coin after the war, the Civil War.
I had no idea. That's fascinating, Scott. I had no idea.
So,
interesting.
It's a crop nutrition podcast, right?
Okay.
So let's get into nickel. I like talking about nickel because I can pronounce it. Unlike the 30 or 75% of the time on last week's podcast where I mispronounced molybdenum, I still mispronounced it wrong. But we're going to get past that. Let's talk about nickel, Steve. What do we need to know about nickel? What are some fun facts about nickel?
Well, nickel is an essential plant nutrient. At least it's been found to be that way in the laboratory. It's probably, I can say without a doubt, the least understood essential nutrient. Large gaps in our knowledge about nickel, with one exception, and maybe two. Nickel is not deficient in nature. And when we don't see crop responses to nickel, and we can talk about which crops or which crop is known to respond to nickel and another one that may respond to nickel in a little bit later. But it's of all of the nutrients that we deal with, it's the one that we're least likely to see as deficient. And so you can call it somewhere extremely rare to be deficient and so forth. But it's like I say, mostly of academic interest unless you happen to grow one of a couple of crops.
So why do we even concern ourselves with nickel? Why is it or would you even say it's an essential micronutrient? Probably not.
Well, it is essential, and actually it was the team of scientists that demonstrated its essentiality to plant production, to crop growth, was led by Patrick Brown, who is now at UC Davis and has done a lot of the outstanding work with almond nutrition over the last 10 to 15 years. But many years ago, he was one of the lead scientists that showed that nickel was, in fact, an essential plant nutrient. Extremely difficult. They had to grow several generations of barley plants completely devoid of all nickel. And eliminating nickel from all of the interaction with the plant was extremely difficult, but it literally three generations of growing a barley plant, taking the grain, growing that, doing that for three cycles, they got down to where the barley seeds did not have sufficient nickel to complete their normal life cycle. They, in fact, they exhibited reduced germination and a complete absence of nickel. And the levels we're talking about were in the parts per billion range. Very, very low concentrations, but it is essential. And the only enzyme that it is known to be essential for is the urease enzyme, which is responsible for converting urea into breaking that into amine compounds and CO2 and water. And so it's essential for the urease enzyme to function, and urease is one of the key functioning enzymes in plants. So therefore it's essential. Now, it's extremely difficult to show that it was essential, and therefore we normally, with the exception, again, of a couple of crops, there's no idea that it's ever been deficient for crop production out in the real world. And so there's not a whole lot we need to worry about with it.
Are there any crops that are more susceptible to nickel deficiencies?
It turns out that pecans have been shown to be nickel deficient. And there's a deficiency referred to as mouse ear. It results in misshapen leaves on the pecan trees. And it's been observed where pecans have been grown, Arizona, across the south in Texas and Georgia. And applications of nickel correct the problem. They increase the nickel concentration in the leaves, and the leaves grow normally. And yield responses have been less evident. There is some work showing yield responses or certainly improvements in leaf function and so forth. But that's the only crop that we know definitively to exhibit nickel deficiency and respond to nickel fertilization. I've talked with people that have worked with almonds and think they have seen in field observations responses to nickel, but not done under rigorous replicated research trials and so forth, just simply anecdotal observations of trees and blocks and so forth, and they think that possibly they've seen a nickel response on almond. I certainly am not recommending nickel for almond applications. We have no good research to support that, but those are the only two crops that I'm aware of that people have even indicated that nickel has ever been deficient. So for all other crops, it's not an issue for us.
Why would it be deficient in pecans? I'm just curious. Is it because pecans use more nickel than other plants, or why is that?
Some of the information that I've read about pecans would indicate that it has to do with the environment in which pecans normally grow. Is an environment that tends to be waterlogged, or at least for parts of the year tends to be reducing conditions. It ends up that it increases the availability of nickel. So the tree is normally exposed to fairly high level, relatively speaking, high levels of nickel. But under crop production practices, we tend to grow pecan trees in areas that have well-drained soils, and of course we irrigate them. But the conditions that lead to the high availability of nickel are not present, so the nickel availability is low. Pecans apparently don't take up a lot of nickel, and so this is hypothesis at best. Speculation is more likely the way I would describe it, but we do think that that may be why pecans are more likely to show a nickel deficiency. Again, that's the only crop for which it's been confirmed that I'm aware of.
Okay. I think that you had mentioned before that there are some common traits or characteristics between nickel and molybdenum. What are those?
Well, the from the plant nutrition standpoint, both nickel and molybdenum are enzyme activators for key enzymes in the nitrogen cycling within a plant. In the case of molybdenum, it's the nitrogenase enzyme, which is key to nitrogen fixation by legumes. And molybdenum is required for nitrate reductase, which takes nitrate and moves it into the form that plants can use to create amino acids and proteins. Nickel is essential for the urease enzyme, which takes urea and breaks that into its constituents. And so the plants can then utilize the constituents, the amine from the urea, to make amino acids and proteins. And in fact, one of the symptoms of nickel deficiency, again, in laboratory work, is a buildup of urea in plants. And urea can be toxic at high concentrations, and sensitive crops will actually exhibit urea injury if there's no nickel present or very, very low levels of nickel. And again, only in laboratories, and it's quite difficult to create those conditions, but we do know it's associated. So both molybdenum and nickel are associated with nitrogen metabolism. The other thing that they share in common is both nickel and molybdenum were first isolated as chemical compounds by Swedish scientists. So nothing to do with plant nutrition, but the Swedes can claim credit for a scientist that isolated both molybdenum and nickel.
Interesting. Hey, I'm curious because these two micronutrients that we've talked about the last 2 weeks are pretty rare in nature. How about people that are doing greenhouse growing where they're using artificial media instead of soil? Do they have to know a little bit more about these rare micronutrients so that they can produce good crops?
That's a good question, Scott. In the case of some of the micronutrients, yes, you need to make sure they're in the nutrient solution and so forth, and be aware of those issues. Again, I'm just not aware of that with nickel in the greenhouse. The concentration required by plants is literally 20 or 30 parts per billion in some cases. So it's in the a fraction of a part per million, and just the, I hate to use the word contamination, but just the amount of nickel that comes along in some of the other fertilizers is more than enough to meet the plant demand. So it's not an issue that I'm aware of, except for the pecans and maybe almonds, but that's a stretch right now.
In a typical soil or tissue test, are molybdenum and nickel part of those tests? Do you see, or do they leave those out?
For molybdenum, yes, that can be run as a fairly standard both soil and plant tissue level. The values are so low, and there's such a little database that we have about them, so I don't have a lot of confidence in numbers in terms of interpreting and saying sufficient, deficient. For nickel, again, we're measuring in the part per billion range, 20, 30 parts per billion. And very difficult to do, and again, no call for it. So the work that's been done has all been done by research laboratories. I don't know of commercial labs that routinely run nickel.
Well, it's good to know about all of these micronutrients, whether they are nutrients that we need to really watch out for and be aware of, or whether there's some that are pretty rare out there. It's good to know about this stuff, because the more knowledge you have, the better you'll be able to grow crops and be profitable. Next week, we're going to talk about zinc, and we're looking forward to that. Steve, thank you very much. We hope you guys are having a good start to your year. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, we're coming up on the end of the micronutrients, and we're looking for some other little topics that we can do with Dr. Steve in his agronomic tips of the week. You can go to our website, or you can just Google Yara Podcast. We'll take you to that website, and there's a little form there that you can enter a comment, a question, a suggestion. We would love to hear that. But make sure beyond that you share it with some of your colleagues. We hope that you find some value there, and we've earned that referral. So have a good week, and we'll talk to you next week where we talk about zinc.
Yep. Talk to you next week, Scott.
You've been listening to the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. For more information about our company, please visit us at www.yara.com or yara.us, or for Canada, yaracanada.ca.